Let's talk about our democracy for a minute. But let's do it in a way that makes the snowflakes' heads explode. Let me be clear before this podcast begins. We are loud,
loud,
proud,
proud,
and do not give a fuck. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast. Real and raw political and social commentary. The freedom to oppress the rights of other people is not liberty, you shit-eating moron. Ah, the smell of freedom of speech. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast, and this is Tony Michaels. Hey, Tony, fuck 'em.
Fuck 'em indeed. Fuck 'em indeed. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. Roseanne Barr. That's what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. Do a show on Roseanne. You know what I should have done? I should have invited Tom Arnold to this. I don't know. Maybe I could still invite him. I don't know. We could probably get him up on... We can probably get him up on the screen if old Tommy wants to join me. Talk about the absolute change in Roseanne Barr. When I was a kid, and you guys have probably watched Roseanne, the show Roseanne. But I remember things about Roseanne that maybe Roseanne doesn't remember. And maybe it was her writers, but I know that Tom Arnold was a writer on Roseanne for a long time, and I know Roseanne wrote a lot, especially those first several seasons. Because if you remember, George Clooney was on Roseanne. Do you remember that? I don't remember the character's name, but George Clooney was on Roseanne, and George Clooney played the boss at the factory that they worked at. He played the boss at the factory that they worked at. And was it Lankford? I think it was Lankford, Illinois, was the setting of Roseanne. And she worked at a factory with her sister and her friends, and George Clooney was the supervisor there at the factory. They worked at a factory, and they got paid dirt. Didn't get paid shit. They were pissed off about it. And they were mad because the rich get all the tax cuts. That there's certain politicians. Lankford? Is it called Lankford? All right. I'll swing with that. I'll swing for that. But they worked in they were lower class, lower middle class. They weren't even middle class on Roseanne. It's the reason why the show became so popular. Not because that storyline is interesting, because it is interesting, but because so many people in America related to Roseanne. They related to Roseanne, especially coming out of the 80s, when all the tax cuts and shit, the tax cuts and, you know, the small government, all that kind of shit was supposed to deliver the middle class all kinds of wealth, and it didn't. It didn't. It wasn't until the 90s, 1992, when Bill Clinton came in and changed the tax structure, actually taxed rich people. It did something about the deficit that these Republican scumbags say that's what trickle down economics will deliver you is a balanced budget. And that's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. And they've still been selling us the same bullshit. The problem is this country hasn't really believed it in a long time. Not truly. And Roseanne, the show, that's what it was about. That's what it was about. I mean, not wholly about that and solely about that, but about those type of people who have those type of life issues, right? We're working three jobs between the two of us. We've got kids. We can barely afford to live in our house. We can barely afford to keep the fucking lights on. And it ain't necessarily because shit is so expensive. It's because I don't make enough fucking money. But we live in a time right now where the stock market is higher than it's ever been. Higher than it's ever been. Unemployment is cratering. It's at an all-time low. Inflation is on the, in the right path since the pandemic. The administration that we have right now currently gets up every morning and does their fucking job, listens to professionals, tries to make sure that the American working class have a fair shake where they can. I mean, could they do more? Of course they can. I think they will. And you would think that the person who wrote that show so long ago, 30 years ago, you would think the person who wrote that show over 30 years ago, actually, who had, that had her name on it, that was about what the show was fucking about. It was about the plight of the lower middle class, which was growing and growing and growing at that time. The middle class was shrinking and the lower middle class was growing. And now the middle class is virtually gone. And they think because we have cell phones and refrigerators, we're middle class. Like literally that's what these scumbags think. That's what these Republican scumbags think. They believe because we got cell phone and refrigerators, we're middle class. That's what they believe. Because that was really the mark of middle class, you know, in the 60s. That was the mark. I mean, if you owned a really nice refrigerator and had a really nice car and you could buy a house, you're middle class. And you probably could do it all on one income in the 60s. You could be middle class with one income in the 60s because, you know, the rich weren't so fucking greedy in this country. And we taxed the shit out of them. We taxed them fairly. And the middle class grew. And it was the strength, the backbone of this country. It became the economic foundation. And it just wasn't enough for the rich people. Wasn't enough. They needed way more. They needed, instead of having a 41-foot yacht, they needed a 120-foot yacht, see? And instead of flying first class on a commercial airline, they needed their own airplane, right? And instead of having two houses, a home and a vacation home, they needed a home in almost every state. They just weren't satisfied. And that's where it took a turn. And that's what led Roseanne to actually write that script and write those scripts, is to tell the story of the lost American who didn't have a voice. Because at the time, there wasn't the fucking internet. You can just go on social media and say, hey, we're getting fucked here. And there wasn't the capability to organize so fastly, so quickly. Fastly? Is that a word? I don't know. Maybe the guy yesterday could tell us. The guy who invents words. But we can organize quickly now. We can actually share plight across state lines very fast, across the world, in moments, in milliseconds. And now we can invent our own realities even. For plight that doesn't even exist, right? Like we launched yesterday, they're like, oh my God, they're calendar raping us, Christians. They're raping our calendar. I mean, we have a day like every single week, but they get those girl dick people, they get 2 days a year, and sometimes it falls on Easter. Convincing us that they're oppressed. But it was Roseanne once a week for 30 minutes. That's how it feels like Roseanne was on every single night, doesn't it? It almost feels like Roseanne was on every single night. And it was on every single night. It was your life. It was your fucking life. It was on every single fucking day. That's why you love that fucking show, because you were living in the fucking show. Your kids had problems. They were doing drugs. They didn't want to go to college. They were, you know, your teenage daughter was getting pregnant, right? You had friends in high school that were getting pregnant. You were living in that show because they wrote that show for us. That's why it was so effective. That's why it's so popular. Because really some of the substance of it wasn't that popular. The substance of trying to make a sitcom around being poor, about barely being able to pay your mortgage payment and keep your house, being able to barely keep food in the refrigerator, that's not so sexy. You know, like Miami Vice was a lot sexier, right? The Adventures of Superman and Lois Lane was, or whatever it was. And then what the Dean Cain one was. I remember watching that. That was sexy, right? Being poor isn't sexy. Like, there's nothing sexy about it. But they made it funny. Because it was relatable. And now here this fucking nut job Roseanne Barr is at Mar-a-Lago. The last place the character Roseanne would ever fucking go until she won the lottery. That's right. In the show, Roseanne, the character, won the lottery. She won. She got her lottery ticket. The character, not really Roseanne Barr, but Roseanne Barr got her lottery ticket. Roseanne Barr got her lottery ticket by using her art form to talk to America and to create art for America. And that was her lottery ticket. And she turned on us. She turned on us like a lot of these motherfuckers do. When the grass is greener on the other side, especially when something gets old, weak, and worn out. Right? I mean, sitcoms in the 90s, you know, they only had so long before people would get bored. And they jumped the shark, as they say, like they did on Happy Days. I don't know if you know, that's where that phrase comes from, jump the shark. Fonzie was on skis, and he was skiing, water skiing. And then he had to jump over the shark with the ramp. And everyone realized, oh my God, the good old days of Happy Days are gone. They should cancel that show. It's shit now. They ran out of fucking ideas, because that's sometimes what people do. Is they ran out of ideas. And sometimes they just run into money. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they run out of ideas and sometimes they run into money. And they're like, I don't need ideas anymore. Like, I used to need good ideas. Now, I don't need good ideas anymore. And that's where Roseanne Barr is probably at. She doesn't have to have a good idea. She doesn't have to have good ideas anymore. Roseanne Barr is fucking filthy, stinking rich. Filthy, stinking fucking rich. I mean, we made her that way because we loved her show. And the reason why we loved her show is because she was talking about us. That show was about us. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, my parents sweating because they didn't know if they were going to have enough money till the next paycheck. I remember that. I remember my parents having to go borrow money so that way they could take us on a vacation, right? I remember that. It was us. That's why we love that fucking show. And there's not a piece of art available like that today, right? Like, I mean, I would love to say that someone could create a sitcom that would speak to the American people the way that the show Roseanne spoke to the American people. About their struggles, about their plight, about racism, about bigotry, about ideology, about theology. I mean, I wish there was a piece of art to speak to people like that. Because maybe if there was some sort of outlet. But we get so distracted, right? There's too much speech. You know, it's not that we don't have free speech. It's that we have too much. It's everywhere. And everyone's got their fucking opinion. And it's like an asshole. Everyone's opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one and they fucking stink. They stink. This would be the perfect spot for a sponsor who has butthole deodorant. If you're out there and you have butthole deodorant, this would be a perfect spot for me to, you know, grift my audience and throw in an ad. So if you're considering advertising, maybe this would be the spot. I just want to point them out there. It would be a perfect spot for butthole deodorant. So your butthole doesn't smell like your opinion, because your opinion fucking, it stinks. It sucks too. So it's apparently like a Charlie Kirk's lips. It sucks. Anywho, back to Roseanne Barr. And I know it feels like Tony's going to do his entire A block on Roseanne Barr. Yes, I am. Because this crazy fucking video that she posted from Mar-a-Lago. Number one, she looks like the trashy Great Gatsby. So it's like the trashy Gatsby, right? It's really bad. It's fucking horrible. And she's at Mar-a-Lago, drunk off her ass. Like, this fucking lush is absolutely wasted. Which I'm assuming that Roseanne stays pretty fucking wasted. Pretty drunk most of the time. I would say that she's probably borderline, if not considered clinically an alcoholic. And she probably chain smokes like a sumbitch. She looks like she does, which there's nothing wrong with that, Roseanne. Fuck, that's what you want to do, baby. Boom, get it on. I'm all for it. For you to look trashy and be fucking smoking cigarettes like you're in the old trailer park days and fucking guzzling scotch on the rocks. Do it. It's your liberty. It's your life. You only got one of them, baby. Live it. But this is not the Roseanne that was the character on the show. And this is not the Roseanne that was the person writing the character on the show either. It's not the same motherfucker. Now, it's the flesh and blood is the same. Right? But it's not the same person. She has different experience now, right? I mean, again, Roseanne Barr is a fucking wealthy son of a bitch. A wealthy son of a bitch. She owns some sort of fucking farm down in Hawaii. Do you know how much land costs in Hawaii? You know how much it is? And she owns a farm in Hawaii. I'm not sure which island. I've never been there, so don't be asking those kind of questions. Go look that shit up. It's some sort of farm, though. I don't know. Like a fucking QAnon farm or something. They grow conspiracy theories. And they use her brain farts as fertilizer for the conspiracy theories that they grow down at the QAnon farm in Hawaii for Roseanne. Because she's full on conspiracy theory QAnon stuff. And the reason why is because Roseanne Barr became rich and she got bored. This is the problem. These fucking rich people get so fucking bored. We don't get bored. People who work, working class people, don't get fucking bored. Because not only do we got to work at the one job for 40 hours a goddamn week, we got to have another job that's 20 hours. Our spouse is going to have a goddamn job that's 80 hours a week. Just to keep up with the Connors, right? But it really does send a message that during the series of Roseanne, she won the lottery. And then in real life, she won the lottery. And in the show, she became a different person. Her and Dan, I think, got divorced. I don't remember the exact storyline. But her and Dan got divorced because they just couldn't stand each other anymore because Roseanne was now some bougie rich person. But it really is a signal of where we come to this country. When Roseanne Barr is standing down at Mar-a-Lago, totally fucking tanked, talking about how people shouldn't go to college. This bitch didn't go to college. And if you remember the show, she fucking struggled. The character Roseanne struggled to get her daughter to go to college and keep her in college. And she wanted her to keep her in college. And here she is in her art. She was telling you it is so important. So important in her art. The art she was writing. The thing that related to Americans so fucking thoroughly was that, hey, my children need to do better than me. The next generation should progress. It should get better. And now she's standing down at Mar-a-Lago with God knows how much money is in the fucking scotch glass she's got. God knows how much, and it may be shits. It is Mar-a-Lago, so it's probably not high-end scotch. It's probably shit scotch poured into a high-end bottle. You know what I mean? Like, they probably tricked her. She's drunk anyways. Why would you, you would charge Roseanne for the highest-end scotch, but just feed her the garbage, you know, the well stuff. She ain't going to know the difference by that point. How the fuck is she going to know? She's so goddamn trashed. But she's standing there telling people in this video that they shouldn't go to college because of transgenderism and genitalia. I don't know what the fuck she's saying. She's a fucking lunatic. She's a goddamn lunatic, and she's lost her fucking way. And I just hope that in my journey, because I feel like I do art every day. I really do. I feel like I do art. I know it's commentary, but I think it's an art form. I think it's an art form. I've gotten a lot of messages, and I want to thank the audience for sending all these messages about the interview I had with Lev. A lot of people have said it's the best interview that they've seen with Lev, which that wasn't exactly my goal. My goal was just to have a conversation with him. Bring up that authenticity, right? Let Lev be Lev, I guess you could say it that way too. Just have a conversation. I never try to force anything. I never try to be something that I'm not. I'm never trying to sell you a different Tony. You can ask anyone who sees me behind the scenes. I am the exact same motherfucker. Maybe not quite as extra. I'm a little extra on the show, but I got to keep your fucking attention. You know what I mean? And I hope that I don't lose my way, because I believe that the character Roseanne was authentically Roseanne Barr. That's who she was. That was her experience to that point in her life. And she spoke to the experience of so many Americans. And it's the reason why that so many Americans love and still love that show. And you can still go watch clips. I'm actually going to show you the clip of her from Mar-a-Lago, the video that she posted on social media. And then I'm going to compare it to a video. And I'm not sure she wrote this script. I have no idea if she wrote this script. But she's in the scene in Roseanne. And I'm not sure what season and which episode it's from either. You can go fucking find it if you want to, probably. But a Republican politician shows up at her house, and he doesn't even say he's a Republican. He doesn't even say he's a Republican, but you know he is. You know he's a Republican. And the reason why you know he's a Republican is because of the shit he's saying. And in the script, they didn't have to identify him as a Republican. You just knew he was because of the conversation that they have. And that's sort of sometimes the best script writing, is you don't have to say what is obvious if you write the script correctly. And this scene that you're going to see, not only did it speak to people at that time, but there's a lot of parts of the script, because it was a different economy at that time. It was a different economy at that time in America. So it hits a little different now than it did then. But there's parts of it you're going, holy fuck, this was 30 fucking years ago, and we're still doing this nonsense. We're still fucking trying to act like this is normal in this country, that this is what we should be doing for rich people. And here Roseanne Barr is down at Mar-a-Lago rubbing elbows with the fucking tax cheats and the fraudsters. When on her show, when a Republican politician shows up to her front door, the character Roseanne approaches him and talks about unions, talks about fair fucking wages, talks about affording a mortgage, talks about working so many hours a week just to make it, that they're flat fucking broke, living paycheck to paycheck because they got a family to feed. And all this guy can worry about is his big tax cuts for his big business buddies. And he doesn't care who's left in the wake, because his big money business buddies are going to take care of the politician. And you know, when it's written into the scene that way, you know what side of the aisle the politician is on. And you know which side of the aisle the character Roseanne was on. And it had nothing to do with parties. Nothing. They didn't even say Democrat or Republican in the scene. Nor did they say the way political party in the scene. It was every single bit of that scene, every TikTok in that scene that I'm going to show you is about ideology. Every single bit of it. And how ideology can actually operate in this country, and how you can weaponize ideology in this country, and how you can weaponize mockery. Because what she really truly does in the scene, they wrote the scene to mock the Republican. And it's sad that Roseanne has lost her way. It really is. It's sad that now Roseanne is the fraudster. Now she's the tax cheat, right? In the scene, if Roseanne were to write the scene today, she would be the person showing up wanting the tax cuts for big business. Telling the middle class person, well, you're just going to have to pull yourself up by your fucking bootstraps, right? I mean, that's what she's saying in this video down at Mar-a-Lago. Don't go to college. Don't do that. Don't try to get better in life. Don't try to get better in life. Don't try to do that. Just do what the fraudsters and the tax cheats tell you to do. Don't dissent. Do what they tell you to do. And I know she thinks she's preaching dissent, right? By saying don't go to college and all that shit. But to tell people to not be educated when Roseanne Barr knows about being uneducated, like she knows the plight of being uneducated. Roseanne Barr is a high school dropout, but that's why she thinks she can say that shit. And I'm not proposing that everyone should go to college. I don't think everyone should. I think some people should go to tech schools. I think some people should go to trade schools. I think some people should follow their dreams and do whatever the fuck they want, regardless if college plays into that formula or not. But to not be educated? Good Lord. It really is something coming from someone like Roseanne Barr, who came from the plight of uneducated, who worked her way up, who won her lottery ticket by speaking to America through her art form and comedy. And then turned her back on us. Because to some degree, that's kind of what it feels like. It's not Roseanne Barr herself, the person, turned her back on us. But the character from the show. The character from the show. We were Dan and Roseanne Connor. We were Dan and Roseanne Connor. We were middle class and we were strong. And we are fighters, and we're going to fight every fucking single nickel, every single dime, every single day. And we're going to keep our fucking families close, our friends close, our communities close. And we're going to value everyone around us, every human life. And we're going to make sure we stand up for the plight of other people, even though it's not our plight. Because this is a goddamn democracy. And that's what you do when you fight for other people's liberty. That's what you do. And what you also do is don't go anywhere, because we're going to be right back right after this.
We'll be right back. Mark. We'll be right back. Mark. 60 seconds. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast.
Hey gang, join your favorite Discord miscreants at the Dive Bar of Democracy, that's M-O-C-K, every Friday after book club and get the weekend started right. One of our hosts will surprise our panel with three topics no one knows about ahead of time, so they're just as surprised as you'll be. That's every Friday after book club, fuck 'em fam. See you crazy kids there.
Tony's Twitch stream, the Shit List Roundup, at twitch.tv/TheTonyMichaels. We're back to the King of Brilliance. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Wow. I know the song by heart. You remember the song? Oh, I know you're singing it right now. You're singing it right now along with me. You heard that bitch every fucking week. That harmonica. Whining. Singing the blues. The plight of middle America. The middle class. The lower middle class. And now we have what we have with Roseanne. But I want to grift you for a second. Will you allow me to grift you? It's the worst grift in the world, I promise. It ain't that great. Doesn't cost you a lot of money because a lot of this shit is free. Just go hit subscribe right here if you want to watch this kind of content every single weekday, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific, for 2 full hours. I think we're banned on Instagram now. So we're banned on YouTube. I can't, for whatever reason, Instagram will not let me go live. So you're going to want to follow me. You're going to want to follow me on all the other places. The best way to follow, though, no matter what, is Discord. Make sure to get in on the Discord. We'll never lose sight of that. We'll always be able to communicate there, no matter how they want to censor me or ban me, and they don't want me to talk and want me to say certain shit or whatever the hell the thing is. And we're supposed to be back on YouTube on Monday. So all you YouTube watchers, we may or may not stream. I may just fucking boycott them. Boycott! Because you know boycotts work, right? I don't know. We'll see. I think we're going to stream at least for Monday to talk to the YouTube audience for a minute or two. Because I I'm almost fucking completely done with YouTube. Fuck them. Is kind of, and that gets to be my attitude. Now, a lot of you are like, no, don't do that. Don't do that, motherfucker. Goddamn, come back on YouTube. We want to watch you on YouTube. Well, fucking, I get it. I understand it. I understand what you're saying. But they want to permaban my fucking channel. So, you know. So we'll see. But if you want to, we're definitely going to stay on Twitch as long as they'll let us stay over there. And if you want free viewing without commercials, Twitch is the only platform that I'm actually monetized on. See, a lot of creators won't be as transparent about how they make a living off of this stuff as I am. But literally, the only platform that I'm monetized on is Twitch. For whatever reason, they're like, yeah, we'll let you say whatever you want to say. It's cool by us. I'm not really sure why, but hey, you know, I'm all down. I'm all for it. But if you want free view, if you don't want it to cost you anything to subscribe to Twitch, you can link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's right here. That's also a free grift. It doesn't cost anything. I'm really trying to milk dollars out of you, but there's not a lot of stuff. You can join Patreon for free, but you can also buy a membership. So there's, if you want to give some money, there's a way you can get grifted. If you feel like you need to be grifted today, there's a way you can get grifted. Another great way to get grifted is go to the Commie Falls gift shop. You guys know we broadcast from the Antifa corporate headquarters live from Commie Falls, Missouri. And here at the corporate headquarters of Antifa, we have a digital gift shop. So you can go in there. We got cat Tifa trinkets, dog Tifa. Let me show you an example of how this would fit. On you know, like dog Tifa or cat Tifa. Let me show you some examples of what that is. Here is cat Tifa here. You see cat Tifa, and there's cat Tifa there. There's dog Tifa there. You see the tag there, the dog Tifa tag. So this turns your dog into a Nazi punching machine or biting machine, I guess. And cat Tifa would be a Nazi scratching machine. So here's some images of dog Tifa and cat Tifa. The superheroes. Here's just Cat Tifa hanging out when it's not fighting crime and punching Nazis. Here's also Dog Tifa. Oh, right there. Hanging out. Look at him hanging out. Dog Tifa catching some sun on the couch before he's got to go fight the Nazis, fight crime, and punch those Nazis in the face. There's Dog Tifa. Yes, and Cat Tifa. So go to the Commie Falls gift shop. And do your cat Tifa and dog Tifa a favor and get them identification tags. That way they can scare the life out of Nazis as they're out there fighting crime. Bite the Nazis. Good dog. Big Stefan says. All right, let's get to this Roseanne clip. I don't want to waste too much time here. It is Friday. We got a lot of stuff to get to. I mean, we've even got Roseanne Barr's favorite musician in the world, Kid Rock, to get to. We got some really good stuff to get to today. Some crucial things we got to go over. It is Friday here. We got a Rudy Giuliani clip. I got a big Larry Trump clip for you. That's right. I got a big Larry Trump clip for you too. But first things first, we're going to go to this Roseanne clip. All right. I'm going to show you crazy Roseanne first, the Trashy Gatsby. I think that's what I'm going to call her now from now on. Look at this. It looks like the Trashy Gatsby and she's drinking piss here. I don't know if that's pee tape. Listen, they have special drinks down there at Mar-a-Lago when they're having parties. And one of them is called pee tape. Okay. It's the pee tape drink, right? It comes in. It looks like a cooler, you know, a clear cooler. And then, you know, it's like a shower though. Kind of, it's kind of high and then sit on the table and you pour the pee tape drink into your really large glass. Here, like she has here, but doesn't she look like the Trashy Gatsby? And she's sitting in front of the Trump in this thing. Yeah, and she's in front of the buffet here too. Is this where they set up the buffet? Is this the caviar buffet that all the Megalodites give their trailer park lot rent money for this fucking Trashy Gatsby to eat the caviar down at Mar-a-Lago and drink the pee tape? The pee tape drink. I don't know. The garbage Gatsby. Is that better? Okay. The garbage Gatsby. I'll go with that. Thanks, Vixen. The ghoulish Gatsby. All right. Well, you know, I like the garbage. It looks kind of trashy. I mean, she is Roseanne. She's always been trashy, right? Like, that's one reason why we loved her is because she was trashy. Like, they were fucking trash. They were white trash. You know what I mean? And Roseanne is definitely fucking white trash, which again, I'm not saying it's bad. Fuck, I'm white trash. I'm from the Ozarks, everybody. You don't get fucking more white trash than me. And where's I's from? Here's a good one. Skip says, the great Trashby. Done it though with the stupid fucking dress and the stupid necklace. I don't know if this is a target for Trump. Do you think her and Trump are fucking? I'm just saying. I know Trump and Carrie Lake are probably bumping uglies. Sorry. Sometimes I get ahead of myself and I don't realize that I'd say something that would give me the gag reflex. But here she is. Here she is. The garbage Gatsby, the Trashby, as it was. Well, let's listen to the great advice she has and all her wisdom. It's very creative, and it's not ridiculous at all. Trust me.
Hey, old bro, how are you doing? I'm here at Mar-a-Lago supporting Carrie Lake, and it was a fantastic evening. And our Trump is here being the DJ, and I've just danced, and everyone's amazed.
You don't remember when she used to be halfway decent at acting? Do you remember that? And now she's just like, nah, I'm not going to like try to pick apart that part of my brain that I used to use to be a decent actor and a decent comedian. Just she's off the deep end. Like, she hadn't even got to the best part either. She does look like a fucking fortune teller, doesn't she? Ooh, let me read your tarot cards. She does. She looks like, I bet this bitch does do tarot card readings. How much you want to bet this fucking QAnon conspiracy theorist totally does fucking tarot card readings? Jesus fucking Christ. Anywho, so fucking wild stuff. But here she is talking about how our Trump, can you fucking even imagine if Democrats are just people just like normies who are just, you know, going to go vote for Biden because they don't want to get fucking pulled, dragged out of their houses and shot with, you know, and their family shot because they're for liberty and freedom and shit. And they don't like fascism and they definitely don't like Nazis. Can you imagine if we referred to Joe Biden as our Brandon? Can you imagine? That's fucking gross. It's not a cult at all. It's not a cult. Yep.
So I'm just going to say to you, please drop out of college because it's going to ruin your lives.
That took a weird turn. I'm not going to lie. That was really fucking weird. She's like, we're down here at Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to have a threesome. Excuse me. I'm going to have a menage a trois with Carrie Lake and trying to get through it. I want to get through the bit. I think they're having threesomes. oh, goddamn. Whew, I'm going to lose some viewers over that. Whew, you think I lose people making fun of Glenn Kirshner? Oh. Giving that type of imagery. Anywho, she's supporting Carrie Lake, and then she's like, drop out of college? What the fuck is that? Like, what? How in the fuck do you go from we're excited about, you know, supporting Carrie Lake, Trump is on the DJ booth, I was dancing, everyone lied when they said I was good at dancing, but it was fun, to now drop out of college? It's really fucking weird. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of a weird right turn. But all right, let's see what other kind of crazy she's got on the other side of this.
Do me a favor. Drop out. They don't teach you nothing good. Email me or Twitter me or whatever you call me and I'll...
Oh, my God. Email me or Twitter me, whatever you call me. What? Someone, please. Can someone get me Roseanne's email? I would like to send her an email from God. Can you imagine if we fucking created an account? Like the email from God lady. She thinks she's getting emails from God. I 100% think that we could make Roseanne Barr believe that she's getting emails from Trump Jesus. You know what I mean? Like Jesus is emailing her about Trump and all these QAnon conspiracy theories. I think we could convince her that we may be able to get her to make videos about it. Yeah, Jesus emailed me today. You don't think this person would be caught on social media somewhere making a video talking about how fucking Jesus emailed her today that Trump's the Messiah, huh? Come on. Of course we could. Look at this goddamn nut job.
I'll help you with your life, but you got to get on calls because it isn't nothing but devil-worshipping, baby-blood-drinking Democrat donors. Love ya.
I'm not going to lie. That's a good bit. That's a good bit. Like you couldn't fucking do a better bit of making fun of a Trump supporter than that. Look at that. She's got to be punking us, right? Listen, this is the best fucking example of someone parroting a fucking Trump supporter down at Mar-a-Lago. It's almost like Roseanne Barr is playing the long game here. You know what I mean? She's playing the long game. She's been tricking us for a long time that she's a fucking racist. She's a goddamn anti-Semite. And here she is, she's playing a long game to get down at Mar-a-Lago, get dressed up as the trashy Gatsby, stand in front of Donald Trump's picture with the pee tape drink, and spout off QAnon conspiracy theories. So we're like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. Not voting for that kind of shit. Like, no, thank you. I don't think that's going to. She was born Jewish. That doesn't mean she's not an anti-Semite. I don't know if you've seen the whole her with dressed up as Hitler cooking cookies in the oven, but I would say that that's, you know, oh, it's satire, Tony. It's satire. Well, it's the wrong kind. It's the wrong kind. Roseanne's taken a lot of, you know, crazy turns in her life. A lot of crazy turns to get her here to make her a parody of her own self. Because that's truly what she is here. She's become a parody of the character that was in the show. Look at her dressed up like would the character. Remember the first season? Roseanne would wear like sweatpants, you know, like Walmart brand white shoes, vinyl shoes, and then like a sweatshirt with maybe a flannel over it, and her hair was permed. And she was a little short, tubby woman with a permed do and, you know, a $8 outfit, right? And she worked at the factory. She worked at the fucking factory. It's a long ways from this here, the character that she's playing online here, because that's really probably the truth about Roseanne most of the time, is that Roseanne's playing a fucking character most of the time. She's not truly being authentic. She's just playing the craziest fucking character she could possibly play, because that's her character on the internet. That's who she portrays to be on the internet. She's not authentic. And maybe, you know, somewhere deep down inside this fucking deluded little twit here, that Roseanne on the show still exists. Because let me show you what Roseanne used to be. Let me show you the character Roseanne. And, you know, to some degree, maybe this is the real Roseanne at one point in her life. But this is, and I'm not sure what season this is. I'm not really sure. But you guys will recognize here, this is the living room of the Connors here. And this is Roseanne answering the door. Watch what happens.
Hi, I'm Mike Summers, your state representative. How you doing?
Great.
Good. I'm going door to door trying to get to know my constituents.
Oh, door to door, huh? That takes a lot of time. Why don't you just go down to the unemployment office and see everybody at once?
Mockery. You see that? Mockery. Roasting him. Mockery. That's how it's done. That's actually how it's done. Is right there. That's the first joke. That's the first lead in. Now you would say, Tony, how do you know this is a Republican? Well, just listen.
I hear you. And you're right. We can't let this area's workforce lay idle. That's why bringing in new business is my number one priority.
How?
Through tax incentives. See, we're going to make it cheaper for out-of-state businesses to set up shop right here in Lanford.
So they get a tax break?
Yeah, that's why they come here.
Well, who's going to pay the taxes that they ain't paying?
Well, you will, but...
But how do I know he's a Republican? There you go. There's the Republican. There it is. It's the entirety of it. Listen, the only way you middle class, lower class, poor person are going to get ahead is if you just make sure to get out of the way of the rich people. And I'm going to make sure as a Republican politician that you get out of the way of the rich people, making legislation that makes it easier for them to steal the community's money. Out-of-state business come in and get tax incentives, tax cuts for big business and rich people to take their tax cuts that they get to take them to another state, take them to another community. It's what happens all the time. It's what happens in black communities. You can go talk to black communities all the time. They'll come in, swoop in. These businesses will open from outside their community. I mean, hell, most of the cops that work in black areas don't live in black areas. So they take the salaries that they pay them to police black areas and they take them to the white suburbia to spend their cash. So they spend the money that is spent on policing in those communities, and that money is taken to another community and spent elsewhere. Happens all over the country. It's actually by design. It's by design. How are rich people going to tell you that one day you'll be rich if you're not poor now? True middle class people don't feel like they're poor. They don't. True middle class means that you don't feel that economic struggle. You have enough for your lifestyle plus a little bit of extra. Breathing room, security, a home, transportation, education for your children, retirement, the ability not to have to work the rest of your fucking life. That's what economic security feels like. That's what freedom feels like if you want to know the God's honest truth. There's all sorts of levels of freedom and liberty in this country. But the middle class has shrank so much, and it's almost non-existent now, that we have to look for security in other ways, in other forms, in other fashions. And I think this script spoke to it.
You'll be working. Good, steady employment.
Union wages?
Well, now, part of the reason these companies are finding it so expensive to operate in other locations.
So they're going to dump the union so they can come here and hire us at scab wages. And then for that privilege, we get to pay their taxes.
Is your husband home?
How else do I know he's a Republican? How else did the script write that he was a Republican? Now, I'm telling you, this script was written in a time where there was not as good of economic numbers as there was right now. Not quite as good. But even with the economic numbers going the direction that they were going in the 90s, the middle class and the lower middle class and the lower class were still feeling the brunt of the bad parts of the economy. Because where there's good, there can be bad. And just because it's good for some does not mean it's good for all. That's kind of how democracy and capitalism works, right? You never get exactly what you want or how much you want. But this script was written in a way that they didn't have to call this guy a fucking blood-sucking Republican. A fraudster. Didn't have to call him the pimp for the tax cheats, right? They didn't have to say that out loud because you know what the fuck this son of a bitch is. And you know who the fuck this son of a bitch is. This is the son of a bitch that would tell you that women don't look good over 30. They just get unattractive. You know, they're only attractive when they're about 15, 16 years old. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Is that kind of guy. Kind of guy that would tell you that, you know, what we should do is fix that immigrant problem so those brown people aren't coming to our country and taking those hard working jobs that them white people need to have. So we'll just build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Right? They tell you that the border is the crisis. They tell you that getting fentanyl caught across the border, that would be a crisis. What are they going to do about it? Not a goddamn thing. They're going to lower taxes for rich people. That surely will fix it. That's their answer to everything. Just lower taxes on rich people. That's how you know this is a Republican.
Well, he's on the phone trying to keep us from losing our house. Hey, let's talk about that. See, we're broke. I can't even afford to go buy groceries unless it's double coupon day.
Mm-hmm. You know, we should talk about that. Oh, but I have several houses I have to get to before I quit.
Okay, great. I'll come with you.
And that was back when the Roseanne crazy was our Roseanne crazy. And again, this is a character played on TV. Is this really Roseanne? I mean, I guess we can judge now that it may not have been. Now that we see her down at Mar-a-Lago in her Great Gatsby costume, sipping on P-tape wine, standing in front of the fentanyl Führer's, God knows how much money he paid someone to paint that picture, a shitty picture of him in that tennis outfit. Standing in a mansion, supposedly one of the most gilded mansions in all of America. One of the greatest properties. It's valued so high. Rich people love it. They love it. They won't even let the cult members in. The cult members stand out on the road with their signs and their flags. The toothless ones. The ones with no money. The ones with just barely enough money to camp out on the road that Mar-a-Lago lays on. But they'll let Roseanne in. Roseanne's got money. Roseanne's got money to give to Carrie Lake. She's got money to give to Donald Trump. She's got money to give to all kinds of MAGA candidates that believe all kinds of QAnon and conspiracy theories to prop up this idea that they're serious about policy making as they try to strip away women's rights and criminalize pregnancies. They want to genocide trans people. talking about the blood-sucking cabal and the colleges teach you how to be, you know, Democrats or some stupid shit. Listen, if being educated and knowing the truth makes you a leftist, then it says a little more about the right than it does about the left, doesn't it? Doesn't it really? If that's the case. And just reading a book every now and then, learning about history, figuring out how economics actually work, and that there is such thing as science, and the earth isn't flat. If that makes you a fucking Democrat because you got enough fucking brain cells to rub together to manufacture logic and reason, that way you might have a, you know, a thought or two to get to the truth. Well, count me in, I guess. But in this series, not only was there this scene where Roseanne would absolutely roast with mockery this politician, Republican, white male politician, about the state of the economy, not the actual economy, Americans' personal economies. And to have this sort of discourse, but now she's down at Mar-a-Lago. Now she's down at Mar-a-Lago rubbing elbows with the tax cheats. She's rubbing elbows with the fraudsters because she is one. She's become them. She didn't know it. The character didn't know it. But the money changed them. And money changes people. Money changes people. Not only does money change people, but the fucking possibility of making more and more money changes people. It really does. It'll fucking change you. Because there is something to be said about the Republican politicians in this country with their messaging that just give the tax cuts to the rich. One day you'll be rich. One day you'll be rich. Because the few that get there, the few that make it to be the rich ones over a long period of time, they buy into it hook, line, sinker, because it became true. They were right the whole time. The Republicans were right the whole time. If they just gave tax breaks, those poor people, because right now, Roseanne Barr, she'd be down at Mar-a-Lago saying the exact same opposite shit she said in that script. She would be saying, yeah, if those lower middle class people wanted good jobs and they give rich people like me tax cuts so I could bring my business to their state. If they would just pay me to bring their business so I could give them jobs to their state, then they would be much better off. And they would be much better off if they opened their mouths and let me piss into it. They would be so much better off if they just made me tinkle over them with my trickle-down economics. She's bought at hook, line, sinker because Roseanne Barr became rich. She went from poor to rich. And now she wants the tax cuts that she once said. Well, you can't give the tax cuts to the rich. Who's going to pay the fucking taxes? Who's going to pay for the roads and shit then? Who's going to pay for the fucking traffic lights and all the administration of the city? And that commercial area. Who's going to do all that? It'll be you. But she's not the you anymore. She's not the you anymore. A lot of things change people. A lot of things change people. Let me show you someone who's changed. Money changes people all the time. This is not the guy who's changed. He's talking to a guy who changed here in this clip. Chris Cuomo. Now, Chris Cuomo, you'll know that Chris Cuomo is the brother of Andrew Cuomo, the famous New York governor who got caught grabbing people or whatever the hell he was doing. And Chris Cuomo was an anchor on CNN. He's no longer an anchor on CNN. He's an anchor on News Nation. I don't know if you know what News Nation is, but News Nation is a right-wing rag trying to be sold to us as just down-the-middle news, right? That's what they're trying to be. We're just the news. That's all we are, is just the news. They're so full of fucking shit. When they have Bill O'Reilly on their channel. That's right, Bill O'Reilly. Remember this guy? He was fired from Fox News for sexually harassing women. I don't know if you know that, but Bill O'Reilly is on News Nation. But here is Mini Hassan giving a little bit of heat to Chris Cuomo. This is a great clip. Watch this. You'll see how the money has changed Chris Cuomo.
Did you think Donald Trump would incite an insurrection and refuse to leave office in 2019, in 2020?
No, but I also wouldn't characterize the behavior the way you did.
You don't think he incited an insurrection?
No. I don't think it was an insurrection. I think it was a riot.
Okay, did you? Okay.
I want to show you the difference between these two guys. Okay. Now, this guy's sitting here. He's got his book behind him. He wants to sell his book because that's his living now, which I don't blame him. But he's sitting in his bedroom, you know, the window behind him with the earbuds. Chris Cuomo here. The first indication is he makes sure that his little YouTube thing here is put. I love it. I love it that these fucking idiots online, they're, especially when they're in the political realm, right? They're in the political realm and they're so fucking proud. They're so proud of their little fucking, their thing. I can't wait to get one of these. Honestly, I can't wait to get one of these little plaques from YouTube. I'm going to smash that bitch with a fucking hammer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to smash that motherfucker with a hammer into a million pieces. And I think I'm just going to grind it up and put it in like a jar and put it back here on my shelf somewhere on the shelf here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put it in a little jar. Just turn the dust. Someone said they pay me to watch me do it. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I might do it. But listen, nothing is more of a tell than someone who does political commentary or commentary in general and has this little fucking YouTube thing behind him, right? And poor guy. All right, keep going.
I don't agree with that for a second, but let's pop that for a moment. Did you in 2019 or 2020 say Donald Trump will refuse to leave office and incite a riot and an attack on the Capitol?
No.
I did. In 2019, I wrote a piece for The Intercept saying Donald Trump is very clear about the fact that he won't accept the election result and he won't leave and people are ignoring this danger. And if this, you know what's going to happen? Violence and rioting. I wrote this in The Intercept in, I think, May of 2019, about 18 months before the election. People said to me, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a brick. You don't understand American politics. The Secret Service will walk him out. There's no danger here. This is all hyperbole. So my first point, Chris, is forgive me when I hear people say it's hyperbole. I was right then and they were wrong. So maybe we should have a little bit of humility from the folks who say, calm down. A lot of the calm down folks were completely wrong on January the 6th, 2021. That's my first point. And then in terms of the substance, I mean, he is saying this stuff. I agree with you, Chris. He's a liar. He's an exaggerator. I completely agree. He's not a strategist. I don't think you need to be a strategist to be an autocrat, right? I don't think you need that. I think you have autocratic tendencies and instincts. And then it's an issue of whether those around you and the
institutions. They usually have a plan, Mehdi, as we both know.
Well, he's got people around him. Have you read the Heritage Foundation 2025 report? It's a pretty clear plan for authoritarianism.
Chris Cuomo is such a fucking hack. He's such a paid hack. That's right. I'm telling you right now. And Chris, I'm saying it to you too. You're a fucking paid hack. You're paid to say this shit. This is not the look of a guy who believes the shit he's saying. You're paid to say this trash and this garbage. I don't know who the fuck is funding News Nation, and I don't know who the fuck is paying this guy, but this guy obviously ran out of fucking CNN money and needed fucking money and needed a goddamn microphone, so he's getting paid by somebody. And it ain't fucking because he's got 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, trust me. He ain't getting no CNN money having fucking 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. That ain't CNN type money. He's being paid to have these opinions. Just like Roseanne decided that she'd change how she thought because now she's got money. Money will do strange things to people.
Pretty well laid out over multiple pages. But just go back to Trump. Okay, when I say, so a friend of mine said recently, a friend of mine who doesn't want to vote for Biden because of Gaza. So I can't vote for Biden. I said, well, what happens when Trump's president? And they said, well, you know, we'll protest Trump just like we protested him the first time.
But how do you vote for Trump if you don't like Biden's position on
Gaza? No, they didn't say they would vote for Trump. They said, well, we'll vote for Biden. They don't care if Trump wins. They're so mad at Biden.
I got you.
They don't care if Trump wins. And I said, well, what are you going to do once Trump's president? You're Muslim. You're going to suffer. We'll protest. We protested the first time. I said, what happens when he puts the military on the streets and they open fire on protesters? Oh, Mehdi, you're being exaggerating. That's too far. Mark Esper, Chris, a man you know better than I do,
yeah,
just went on MSNBC last week and said, he told me to shoot protesters. I said, we can't do it. Mark Esper won't be there next time. Next time it'll be Kash Patel or General Michael Flynn, who'll say, sure.
And that's the way it'll be. Now, Chris Cuomo has also walked back his statements on insurrection. He doesn't believe that January 6th was an insurrection. He believes it was a riot. Which, again, it's a good example of a media head. In this case, Chris Cuomo being paid to have an opinion. News Nation is fucking right-wing trash posing as news. And Chris is a punk-ass bitch for cashing in on it. Okay? He's a punk-ass bitch. But there's a lot of punk-ass bitches out there cashing in on this stuff. I mean, Roseanne cashes in on it, you know. And Chris Cuomo's cashing in on it. It would be, you know how fucking, now I'm thinking about it. You know how fucking easy it would be for me to just tuck tail, run, and be a right winger all of a sudden? I mean, you guys would stop. All you guys, well, you might come hate watch me. Right. You'd be like, I remember when he did talk about democracy and now he's calling it a republic. He used to be one of them lefty liberals and now he's a Nazi. I'd make all kinds of money, though. I'd be like on Rumble with God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people. I'd have like people like Russell Brand on and Joe Rogan. I get to probably go on Joe Rogan. I'd probably get to go on his show and do the whole brosive thing with him. Rub not unvaccinated elbows with him. Get to lie to everyone like, no, I wasn't really vaccinated. I just lied about it. You know what I mean? I could fucking do that. And maybe I should have like an alter ego where I wear like a beanie cap or something. You know what I mean? Where I wear a beanie cap and say, you know, crazy insulting things that are just completely categorically untrue about women. I don't know. And maybe I could also not be able to get my wife's pussy wet. I don't. Is this that guy? Is this the guy? Hey, can you check? Is this the guy on screen? Is this the guy that couldn't get his wife's pussy wet? I don't know. He looks like he couldn't get any pussy wet. So let's listen.
Up their contraception, such as the pill. Men. I am going to tell you something right now that is fairly difficult. And the left will pull out of context in 2 seconds.
Oh, we're pulling out, baby. We're pulling out, motherfucker. I'm already pulling out. It already smells like you got a VD. Go ahead.
Make sure to state this in a way that is understandable to those who speak English, but cannot be clipped out of context.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure.
With the issue of post-bill clarity, it is advisable to men because of the issue of post-pill clarity, meaning women off contraception or on different contraception have different attractions. Men should not date women, comma, because of post-pill clarity and because some women may not fancy you after a week of being off the pill who are on, comma, who are on birth control. Let me stress that again. If you date a woman on birth control, she may be attracted to you. Due to post-pill clarity, when she changes or gets off contraception, she may not be attracted to you.
Oh my God. This is the kind of shit that I'd have to talk about to make the paycheck. Oh fuck. I don't know if I could do it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know if anyone could pay me enough money to say this kind of stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like I say stupid shit. I say some crazy stupid shit. And we do some crazy stupid things here on the Tony Michaels podcast. We really do. But if you're dating a woman that is on contraception and then she comes off contraception and she has what this dude is calling post-pill clarity. Now, this is the idea that women's brains become fogged because they're on birth control. Now, I'm not really sure why these guys are doing contradictory things. Okay. Let me give this guy, who probably would say the only life that is valuable is a frozen embryo down in Alabama. Let me give you a little insight, friend. Women being able to take birth control and being able to control their bodies and make choices about their bodies in particular, the control of whether they will have a baby or not, actually is probably the easiest, most affordable way to prevent smortions, right? I don't want to say abortions. I might offend this guy because he might get butthurt about it. But birth control and women choosing to use birth control is actually the most affordable, effective, efficient way for them themselves to choose when and when they don't have children. And by choosing that, they're having less medical procedures that you would consider egregious and murder. Okay. So maybe rethinking your logic here, but I get what these guys are saying and the reason why they're saying it. I know why this fucking asshole says this shit. I know why he says this shit. It's because of who he's talking to. Okay. They have cultivated an audience on the right wing. And if you're not aware, it is a fucking swamp full of scum monsters. Okay. These are people who want to be rapists. These are people who want to be rapist apologists. It's one reason why they love Donald Trump. They don't love him because he lies about that he didn't actually rape E. Jean Carroll. They like him because he fucking raped E. Jean Carroll. He's adjudicated rapist. They like that about him. They like that he said that they just let you grab him by the pussy. They like that about him. And when we go on and on and on and on about how he's adjudicated rapist and a sexual predator, and he's a scumbag who hates women, Trump, that is, it only fuels this guy's audience even more. It fuels them even more. And the reason why is because they've been brain fucked into hating women, and that all their problems, all their unmasculine problems, because these people really aren't men. If you guys think that this guy is manly, you guys think this guy is manly, the way he talks and how he talks about women. Listen, a man will defend women. I don't know if you know that. That's actually the masculine thing to do. Right? And some women will tell you, hey, I got this motherfucker. Stand back out of the way. And you can then be like, all right, I'm sorry. I didn't know that's how it's going to go. But a man will defend a woman, defend her rights, defend her honor. That's how it works. That's actually masculinity, right? Not to shit on women, not to act like they're lower, they're below you. They're not equal to you. That's weak. That's a punk ass bitch thing to do. You're just a weak little shit is all you are. That's all you are. If you can't show a little bit of civility for the opposite sex, right? But I do wonder how often a guy like this could actually get fucked. If he tried, probably not much.
This presents a risk to men wanting to start a family. This is reality. Perhaps the reason divorce rates are so high is because of this. I often wondered this. How is it that there are so many people who could get married and then get divorced? It's just crazy to me. It's like, I don't understand how these relationships break down. It's sad, really.
I mean, here's the thing. The reason why Tim Pool is actually being paid to say this, because he's being paid to say this, no reasonable person would want to say this, and maybe he's not reasonable, but I actually think Tim Pool knows what he's doing here. I think the people paying him to say this stuff knows what they're doing. What they're trying to do is create an army of men that are anti-woman, right? They completely understand that they're not going to get women to take away women's rights. They understand that. They get that. Fuck them. If they haven't figured that out yet since they overturned Roe v. Wade, then they're dumb as dog shit. They know that women aren't going to go on this crusade with these fucking white incels to take away women's fucking rights and criminalize pregnancies. They're just not going to do it. So what they have to do is create an entire army, an entire fucking class of white incels. And incels in general, because it's not just, it's white Christian nationalism is what they're using to brainwash these motherfuckers. Start a family and God wants you to do this and Jesus this, and Jesus that, blah, 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 yakety schmackety, right? Listen, why in the fuck does anyone have to desire to have a family like Tim Pool wants them to, right? But these people listening to him are brain dead idiots that couldn't get fucked. They wouldn't know how to get pussy even if it sat on their fucking face, okay? The majority of their fuck is his fucking audience are probably confused by trans porn. They don't know if they're gay or not. They're seeking him out to fucking feel manly. And the manliest thing that they can come up with is saying that women are ugly over 30 and they shouldn't take birth control because it makes them even uglier. And the reason why they can say this shit is because they know their audience isn't going to have an opportunity to fuck a woman and get her pregnant unless they rape her. Oh, Tony, that's harsh. Well, I don't know what to fucking tell you. It's the truth.
But for a lot of people, it could be as simple as they went on a date. They were really happy. Woman was super excited. Everything was great. They date for several months. They're hooking up. They're having a great time. They're in the city. They got great jobs. And they're like, you know what? We love each other's company so much, playing video games, getting pizza and pod tie. We travel together. We vacation. Let's get married. We have to. And the guy gets on his.
What? What did he just say? Wait, go back.
Simple as they went on a date. They were really happy. Woman was super excited. Everything was great. They date for several months. They're hooking up. They're having a great time. They're in the city. They got great jobs. And they're like, you know what? We love each other's company so much, playing video games, getting pizza and pod tie. We travel together. We vacation. Let's get married. We have to. And the guy.
What? Has this guy ever went on a fucking date in his life? I don't know if he has. It's, you know how long it's been since I've been on a date? Oh my God, I've been married. This would be 19 years this year. It's been a long time since I've been on a date, so I wouldn't know what the fuck to do. I'd have no idea. I wouldn't know. But it doesn't. This doesn't sound like it. This doesn't sound like it. This does not sound like how to get a mate. This does not sound. Someone asked here on Twitch, he is gay, right? I mean, I don't know what's under the hat, if he's hiding behind closet doors or not. I have no idea, but it could be. It could be that he is. It could be that he is. I don't know. Let's keep going and see if he gets to the fucking part where they marry and don't have birth control and now the man's ugly.
He gets on his knees and says, would you marry me? And she says, yes, yes, a million times, yes. They get married. And then she goes, I think it's time that we have a kid. Let's have a family. He goes, yes. And she goes, I'm going to stop taking birth control. And he goes, yes. And then 3 weeks later, she goes, oh my God, I do not like this guy. I can't stand him. He's super annoying and he smells bad.
It feels like this is happening to Tim, doesn't it? Oh man, it really feels like it's happened to him. Oh my God. Yeah. Cool. Right. Scoremonger says, cool story, bro. That's a real cool story, Grandpa. Sounds like you really got your heart broken when she started to fuck you to have a baby and realized you're a piece of shit and you stink. You stink. You stink, Tim. You fucking stink. Maybe that's what's underneath that hat. The stench. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is the right wing. And I don't know if I could say that kind of shit for money. I might. Depends on the amount of money. I might be able to say that for some money. It's possible. I could. Maybe. I definitely wouldn't be doing this where I'm begging for money. Here is Big Larry. Big Larry Trump. Muscle-bound Big Larry transition Trump. She's transitioning from asking for $5 to beg for $5. Let's see the transition here.
Hey, everybody. It's RNC co-chair Lara Trump. If you can't afford a donation today, I ask that you would save it for a later date. But if you can donate even as much as $5, it will go a long way.
I love how they're like, okay, all right, this is the first week of April, everybody. Every single one of these fucking Marlboro smoking trailer park idiots who are in MAGA are definitely going to have $5 this week. They got their Social Security checks. They're going to have $5. Well, I mean, they won't have it after we get elected because then we're going to cancel it. you know, we're going to get rid of Social Security, then they won't have their fucking Social Security checks anymore. Like, well, literally, the people that are begging for money, and they're looking at people like, look, if you ain't got any money, you done gave us all your money, and you're broke, well, that's on you. But if you got a few pennies to rub together, make sure to send them to us so you're fucking flat broke. They even know they're talking to fucking poor white people. They know it. They fucking know it. They know it. Listen.
Hey, everybody. It's RNC co-chair Lara Trump. If you can't afford a donation today, I ask that you would save it for a later date. But if.
So if you can't say, if you can't afford a donation today, that $5, you that only the $5 that you got in your account, because we know you only got $5 left on your credit card. Hell, we max that thing out on all the reoccurring charges. We also know that your mortgage is maxed because you took out your mortgage or you did a second mortgage in 2020 to give us $30,000. And we wasted through that with legal fees and losing. It was awesome, by the way. But if you don't have the $5 to give us, just save that $5 and give it to us next week. Next week, give us the five. What makes her think that if they don't have the $5 today that they'll have it next week? What a fucking bunch of boneheads, begging ass motherfuckers. And I couldn't tell you how excited I am about this. Oh, my God. I hope these fucking idiots who have not a penny to give send every single nickel that they have to this fucking fool. Listen again.
Hey, everybody. It's RNC co-chair Lara Trump. Yeah. If you can't afford a donation today,
you're broke.
I ask that you would save it for a later date. But if you can donate even as much as $5, it will go a long way.
Oh, we just need $5 foot long. Oh, fuck. You want to see a broke son of a bitch down at Mar-a-Lago? No, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Rudy Caluti. Watch this.
Yay, Rudy. Yay.
I wasn't prepared to speak. I'm not used to this. I'm a retired. I used to be a lawyer.
I love it. I fucking love it. He's like, I'm a retired. I can't say I'm a retired lawyer because I'm not actually retired. They took it away from me. I used to be a lawyer.
Until they suspended me because I'm a danger to the public. Amazing.
No, you're not. You are a danger to the public because you probably drink and drive, but you were breaking your oath. You fucking idiot. You took an oath. You fucking dum-dum. like you took an oath to get the license to practice law and you broke that thing. And they were like, yeah, we're not going to let you practice law anymore. Because you're breaking your oath, you fucking lying sack of trash. What an idiot. He's a danger to this country. Well, I mean, not really. Honestly, if you were a danger to this country, the Cheeto Dust Kangaroo coup would have went without a hitch, right? Like, if Donald Trump would have picked someone other than Rudy Caluti as his architect, and Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman, if he would have picked people who were really super fucking intelligent and really super diabolical, there's a chance that we would be living in the United States of Trump right now, right? And there would be a chance that we wouldn't even be sitting listening to me and me talking to you because I wouldn't be allowed to in a fascist state, right? But it didn't, because Rudy Caluti is a fucking idiot and he's worthless. Absolutely worthless. And he tried his best. He really did try his best to lie to the American public about Donald Trump winning in 2020. He's like, no, with the shit drips from his head. No, we won. And then when he got in a court, we're like, yeah, there's no fraud. We have no signs of fraud. But even then, Rudy Caluti was lying, was using his ability to be a lawyer to sell shit that wasn't real. He broke his oath. That's why they took your license away from you, you dumb motherfucker.
Some days, probably most, I wake up And I wonder if it's real. You know, if we really live in a country in which people can go to jail for things they didn't do. A demonstration, a protest, maybe even some kind of a riot is described as an insurrection.
There is. He's like a riot that's described as an insurrection. Like, we didn't do anything. We just rioted to try to overthrow the government. And then usually a riot that has the intention of overthrowing the government is called an insurrection. See, that's the thing that really pisses me off about the whole riot talk. Right? They're like, oh, it's just a riot. Yeah, a riot designed to overthrow the government of the United States. That was the purpose of the riot. The riot was intended to overthrow the government of the United States. That's called an insurrection. That's what that type of riot is called. That's what it's called. You fucking boneheads. Even a tourist event where you would go to the Capitol to tour it to overthrow the government of the United States, that's an insurrection. That's what that kind of tourism is. You can call it what you want. You can call it what you want, but the intent of it is the part that makes it the insurrection. Okay? The intent of the riot, the intent of the tourist event is why it's an insurrection. That's why it's an insurrection. You fucking idiot. It's kind of like when they're like, "Yeah, we're not a democracy, we're a republic." Well, yeah, we're a constitutional republic, which is a type of fucking democracy, you bonehead. Like, yeah, a type of insurrection is a riot. A type of riot is an insurrection. Yeah, that's a thing. Two things can be true at once. They really can be. And all things are true about Rudy that you know. He is a shitbox. He is an alcoholic. He is a drunk. And he is a total dumbfuck. Don't let Lev Barnes lie to you. Lev said the other day, I asked him if Rudy's just a dumb alcoholic. And he said no. I kind of disagree, though. I kind of disagree. But, you know, here it is. I want to go to our local cancel culture dude and see if we can figure out what's the newest thing we're supposed to cancel, because we're apparently not supposed to cancel Budweiser anymore. Our local cancel culture dude is giving up. This is on Fox News. This is Lauren Ingraham. And if you don't know who this gal is over here in the sunglasses, this gal here, her name is Kid Rock. She hails by. But let's see what great political commentary they have on primetime over at Fox News. Let's listen.
That's just, man, we got, I didn't know what hat I was wearing. We got bigger targets. I mean,
I didn't know what hat I was wearing. Literally, this motherfucker cares so little about his stupid little internet boycott that he kicked off by shooting Bud Light cans because a trans person had a Bud Light in one of their Instagram posts, that he forgot what fucking hat he was wearing. Listen, this is the thing. Hey, you fucking idiots out there who think that this guy is your hero. He is making money off your stupidity. Okay? He's making money off your fucking stupidity. He's getting paid to show up at events and concerts. He's getting paid. Okay? Not by you, by big money to make it look like Trumpism and MAGA is a real cool thing when no one gives a fuck about it. This son of a bitch couldn't take enough fucking time to figure out that he probably should not be wearing the hat that he said to boycott. And he admits it right there. Listen.
That's just, man, we got, I didn't know what hat I was wearing.
It would be like me wearing an SS Nazi hat accidentally on air and be like, oh shit, you caught me. Oh man, I'm a Nazi. You know what I mean? It would be. Or if I was wearing like my swastika armband on air and I was like, oh fuck, I forgot. I didn't know what I was wearing. I forgot to take my armband off. Oh man, fuck me. Oh, fuck me. Shit, you caught me. Now you know who the real Tony is, right? That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Oh, fuck. Listen.
And we got.
We got.
We got. I didn't know what hat I was wearing.
I didn't know what hat I was wearing. Oh, fuck. All right. Let's listen to the problems. Let's listen to what we got to do with the from the guy who can't even figure out what fucking hat he's wearing.
We got bigger targets. I mean, when you look at who just Planet Fitness, like, what are they doing? Like Ben and Jerry's. I don't want to put any targets on people's back. Target. Like, I talked to the dudes from Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, the CEO, and the people like, man, they messed up. It's too bad they just won't say it. Like, hey, we messed up a little bit, you know, whatever. But that's not how they're cut. And, you know, I got my answer. And I don't want to hurt people's jobs and stuff like that when they don't have any dog in the fight. But there's a whole lot more companies we should be going after for sure.
Yeah, man. We should definitely go after all the companies. And man, we should, all those companies out. See what actually happened was Bud Light came to me and they said, stop the boycott stuff. And we'll give you a huge discount to sell Bud Light in your bar in Nashville. See, and I tried to cancel the contract. I didn't actually try to cancel the contract in Nashville because I want to make a lot of money off people buying Bud Light from my bar in Nashville. And I really don't give a shit about the thing and the internet and the webs and the Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Jesus fucking Christ, man. Decide what the fuck you're going to do. Are you going to act like and play like you know what the fuck you're talking about? And are you going to really go on Fox News to try to know what you're talking about with boycotts and wear the fucking hat that you're supposed to boycott? And then he fucking tucktails and runs on that son of a bitch. And the reason why is because he got caught live on air wearing a fucking hat, and he even admits it. Listen,
man, we got. I didn't know what hat I was wearing.
I didn't know what hat I was wearing. Oh shit! Now I got to act like I like Bud Light live on air, even though Bud Light is for the fucking groomers. Remember, it's for the groomers. The trans person had an Instagram post with a Bud Light in it. It's woke. It's woke. Shit, you're supposed to get your automatic weapon to shoot up. You're supposed to shoot the Bud Light. But now you're not supposed to. Now maybe Planet Fitness. Maybe Planet Fitness is the one. I don't know. Maybe it's another one. Maybe it's one of them other company type corporation things that, you know, that you have out there. This is so fucking stupid. Jesus Christ. I do admit, though, I got my smart glasses here now. I got my smart glasses. I look smart. I give predictions that don't come true because I'm so smart and I'm a lawyer. And then I have my fucking dumb buck glasses. What the fuck? Are you serious? Jesus Christ. These are some fucking sexy glasses, by the way. I don't care what you say. These are some sexy fucking glasses. A lot of people don't like these glasses, but I like them. I like those. Anywho, Kid Rock is now calling for Ben and Jerry's and Planet Fitness to be boycotted. I'm sure that's going to work out great for Kid Rock. I'm sure that's going to work out great for Kid Rock and the followers of Kid Rock. Holy shit. All right, let's get on to some other clips here. I've got... a clip I want to show you here about No Labels. This is the national director of No Labels. A lot of people have been worried about No Labels. I told you, don't get worried about it. Don't be worried about it. It's not going anywhere. Joe Manchin's their guy and it shit the bed. I told you so. Don't worry about No Labels. Here's Joe Cunningham endorsing Brandon. That's right. The No Labels national director is endorsing Brandon. Go ahead.
Who are you going to vote for, Joe? Who am I going to vote for? Well,
yeah.
Well, No Labels itself is a C4 organization that doesn't advocate for or against political candidates. You know, we were merely securing ballot
you
access.
Two prominent on this role. Ones. You had two prominent. And maybe Robert F. Kennedy, but the choice among those for you as a person. What would you pick?
I love this. He's like, forget about the No Labels for a second. What about you, dummy? Who are you voting for?
Me as a person? I would vote for Biden over Trump.
Me as a person? Well, I got to go with Biden or Trump. I'm not going to lie. Listen to me really clearly. This is Joe Cunningham, the national director of No Labels. Oh, fuck. I just bought a Big Head Joe yard sign. Hey, you should send one to Joe Cunningham over here. Send a dark Brandon yard sign to Joe Cunningham over here. He'll probably put it in his fucking yard. He claims he's the national director of No Labels, but he's definitely going to vote for Brandon. Oh, fuck. You talk about things that shit the bed, man. Oh, fuck. I love it. I couldn't be happier for these No Labels people and Joe Manchin either. Couldn't be fucking happier. I really couldn't. Oh, Joe Lieberman, Joe Manchin. What's the other guy from, what the hell's that guy's name from Ohio? Oh, and the one from Utah, too. I couldn't be happier for him. Couldn't be fucking happier. And it's like I couldn't be happier for all the Texas National Guardsmen down there trying to protect the border. And the idea that they're patriots and they're protecting the border, and they're going to make sure migrants don't come across. Oh, there's a story here. Let me bring you the story. A Texas National Guardsman tasked with preventing migrants from crossing the border is arrested for smuggling a migrant across the southern border in his work SUV. He had charged the migrant $6,000 to take him across the border undetected. Huh. I wonder how that's going for old Willie Nelson down there. Money does crazy things to people, doesn't it? If someone gives you $6,000 and when you're supposed to be securing the border, you might not be securing the border. Might not be securing the border. Oh, boy. All right. Let's see here. Oh, yes. We were talking about Ben Franklin yesterday. And Right Wing Watch pointed out, I got a couple of Christian nationalist videos here for you today. We tried to do white Christian nationalist commentary every day here on the Tony Michaels podcast. We try to defend women's rights and people's rights here on the Tony Michaels podcast every single weekday. And I don't want to not give you that kind of content, especially when you got a closeted, the most closeted man on the internet. Here's the most closeted. He is. I believe he should actually receive the award. And I don't know if we have like that kind of award ceremony. I'm not really sure if that award exists. But if it does exist, I definitely think he's in the top tier of contenders here for the most closeted gay man on the internet. This is Benny Johnson. I don't know if you know who Benny Johnson is. I've actually had the privilege of talking with Benny in a Twitter space before. He's a fucking idiot. Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. And he's a piece of Nazi sludge, too. But he also gets our history right. And he's rewriting our history, trying to rewrite our history and saying Ben Franklin. Listen to this. He's saying Ben Franklin was a Christian nationalist. It is fucking insanity that these people even have the guts to say this stuff. If you read anything, absolutely anything about Ben Franklin, almost anything you read about Ben Franklin, and he would absolutely 100%, if he was alive today, walking around on the earth, he would fucking hate MAGA. I mean, just fucking hate MAGA and would despise this motherfucker. But go ahead and talk about how Ben Franklin was a Christian.
But even Ben Franklin understood that in the formation of this nation, if God wasn't the center of it, then it would fail. the quote from Ben Franklin at his.
Actually, there's a really famous quote, and they quote it all the time from Ben Franklin, because they like real quotes and then they like fake quotes. Even if they contradict each other, they like them both. And the reason why is because most of the time, lies with a little bit of truth props up fascism, right? That's kind of how it works. They love the one by Ben Franklin where it goes like this. It's a republic if you can keep it. If you can keep it, not if God anoints it to you, if you can keep it, you fucking scumbag. But go ahead, talk about how Ben Franklin was a Christian or some dumb shit.
Prayer at the opening of the Constitutional Convention, which he presided over.
Oh my God.
As the oldest founding father, and it was in Philadelphia, his home city. He said, if a sparrow cannot fall from the sky without his notice, how can a nation rise without his aid? Speaking in a prayer to God.
Speaking in a prayer to God, Ben Franklin says this. Oh my God. This guy is so much full of shit. Just cherry picking one quote from one speech that Ben Franklin gave. One. And then I love how they love the cherry pick the republic if you could keep it, not if it's anointed by God. And then cherry picking another one, which, hey, look at. That's it. See, cherry picking quotes does not actually prove anything. It doesn't. It doesn't prove anything. And it actually, if you look at the whole context of Ben Franklin and Ben Franklin's life and history, because he wrote most of that shit down, even the worst parts. The dude used to steal dead bodies to do science experiments. Did you know that? Ben Franklin trafficked in dead corpses so that he could fucking study human anatomy. Did you know that? Because at the time, it was really fucking taboo, and really, I don't even know if it was legal for them to study anatomy. But he was so interested in the actual truth about the human anatomy that he would steal cadavers to cut them up and do autopsies on them. That's what Ben Franklin was doing, right? So maybe, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, Maybe Benny's right. Maybe Ben Franklin is like the godfather of the blood-sucking cabal. You know what I mean? I mean, he's stealing dead bodies, right? It's not like he was stealing frozen embryos or anything, right, Benny? Oh, my God.
If a sparrow cannot fall from the sky without God's notice, how could a nation rise without God's aid? That's how inextricably...
Can you think about that phrase for a second? If a sparrow cannot fall from the sky without his notice, how can a nation rise? He believes, Benny believes, that Ben Franklin is speaking to the power of God. Say it again in the mirror, Benny. Say it again before you start talking about it.
Interwoven. The being, the nature of God is in our government. And if you are looking to destroy this place, you must separate us from God.
Oh, they bend themselves in so many fucking pretzels to make lies the truth that it's crazy. Because the truth really is that Benny wants America to be Christian and to be a Christian nation almost as much as Benny Johnson wants to be a straight man. That's how much he wants America so badly to be a Christian nation. It's a lie. It's a lie, right? Just like him being a straight man is a lie. But he almost just as much as he wants to be a straight man, he wants this to be a Christian nation. Both lies, but he wants them so badly. Speaking of people, gender-neutral people. It's Pat has appeared back on the scene. Yeah, that's right. It's Pat. Look, it's Pat. He's back. You know him as It's Pat, but he's known as Sean Vaughn. This is Sean Vaughn. He's a pastor, a right-winger, and he's going to tell us about Donald Trump being a rapist. So here's more of It's Pat with Donald Trump being an adjudicated rapist, and he doesn't really, I don't know, he doesn't care.
Listen, I'm not dumb.
What? Say it again. Say it again.
Listen, I'm not dumb.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Try again.
Listen, I'm not dumb.
Yeah, you are. You're kind of fucking dumb. I don't I want to go out on a limb here, but I think you're dumb as fuck. But go ahead.
I don't know what happened with him and Stormy Daniels. I don't know what happened with him and E. Jean Carroll. He may be guilty of it all. And yes, call me a cult member. I don't care.
I mean, that kind of would make you a cult member. I'm not going to lie. So it sounds like you're pretty fucking dumb. Okay. So when you start off a video where you're going to say really dumb shit, I guess the natural reaction is, I'm not dumb as shit, but I'm about to say some dumb shit. Okay. Keep going, culty.
Why? No more than I would have cared what David did with Bathsheba if I saw that he was winning the war.
Oh my God, I can't. It's so fucking funny. It's so fucking funny. Number one, to think that Donald Trump is winning any war anywhere is fucking like grade A delusion. I mean, it is some, you got to do some of the best mental gymnastics there are on earth to think that Donald Trump is fucking winning any kind of war. He's the biggest fucking loser of all time, man. The guy bankrupt casinos for crying out loud. You don't get more of a loser than that. Like, the guy can't even secure a $175 million bond from a loan shark. Like, the loan shark's trying to get a loan shark to try to get a loan shark to give Donald Trump a fucking bond. And this guy's going to tell us about winning a war. He doesn't care that he's an adjudicated rapist. He doesn't care that he fucking grabs women and rapes women. He could care less about all that shit. He could care less that he's a fucking rapist. As a matter of fact, Pat thinks that, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Donald Trump is a goddamn rapist. And matter of fact, he should be, because how else are you going to win the war? Holy fuck, man. These people are off the rails. It's absolutely crazy. Now, here's the difference, right, between what you get here at this show and what you would see, I don't know, in the media, right? This morning, I was watching, or listening. I don't watch Morning Joe. I listen to it. I was listening to Morning Joe for just a minute. I haven't listened to it much this week, but I wanted to see if they were saying anything about this earthquake. I want to see if there's going to be, I don't know, some like facts dropped about the earthquake that I could talk about the earthquake. I really didn't gather up enough facts other than it was in fucking New Jersey. And, you know, frankly, I haven't been to New Jersey, but I hear that they need some earthquakes out there in New Jersey. I mean, if you're from New Jersey and you're offended by that, that was kind of the point. Here's the thing, though. While I was listening for a few earthquake facts, which I never actually got, they had Katie Turr on, because Katie Turr lives in New Jersey, apparently, you know, the host on MSNBC, the really boring one. Like, she makes fucking Andrea Mitchell seem like she's, you know, got some personality. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God. Katie Turr, she used to be a good beat reporter. I think Katie used to be a good beat reporter, but now she's so fucking boring. Oh, my God. And she does the both sides thing, and it's a snooze fest. Sometimes I turn it on the afternoon to see what they're saying, if they're following my lead. You know what I mean? Sometimes they are, especially in the prime time. But Katie is such a fucking, oh, my God. Perfect if you want to take a nap. Anywho, that was their commentary. Not many facts were being dropped, so I turned it off when Katie started talking. But they did talk about some fucking story somewhere, some feel-good story somewhere. I don't even remember what it was about. That's how shitty it was, okay? And Joe Scarborough of course, ask Caddy K, that dumb bitch. I don't care if you hate me for that. I don't give a shit. Caddy K is a dumb bitch. And really, frankly, she's not from this country, so it might be more appropriate to call her a cunt. The point is that he turns to Caddy K and he says, oh, that's a great story. And we really been trying for a long time to get that story on air. But there's so much darkness. There's so much blah, blah, blah. And we have to cover all the darkness in our country. And Caddy K follows his lead and talks about how there's no bright spots in our country and all this shit and how it's so dark and so dim. And listen, that's why they're fucking doing it wrong, folks. Yesterday, I showed you a clip, and I showed Cliff Schechter a clip where there is a state representative in fucking Maine on the floor of the House of Maine talking into a microphone on official record saying that the Nazis didn't do anything illegal and they've never done anything to take away someone's rights, saying that the Nazi part out fucking loud. And yesterday we laughed about it. Oh, my God. We laughed and carried on. We mocked her. It was so fucking funny. And then we pulled up a video of a bunch of white Christian nationalists, Nazis, there in Washington, D.C. on Tony Perkins' show, Washington Watch, or whatever the fuck that nationalist, that white Christian nationalist show is called. He made up two words, but they were talking about colonizing the calendar. You remember this? And we couldn't stop fucking laughing at that stupid piece of shit. We couldn't stop laughing at him. Yesterday or the day before, I don't remember, I pulled up a clip of Charlie Kirk disparaging all women over 30 because they're ugly, because they're over 30. And how women shouldn't have birth control and blah, blah, blah. And I hate women. I hate women. I hate women. I hate women. And we laughed at him and we mocked him. And it was funny. Ha ha ha, funny, funny, ha ha ha, funny, funny. And that's how you fucking treat these sons of bitches. You want to know why the media has taken us down a path where they have been derelict in their duty? It's because they fucking think they're self-righteous. That's right. They think they're self-righteous. They have cultivated an image of themselves that is so pristine that they can't do the thing that they need to do, which is mock these son of a bitches into oblivion. There is nothing more that will get these fucking maglodites, these Cheeto-humping fuck nuggets, these America First Nazis to crawl back underneath their rock than shaming them and making fun of them and mocking them. They fucking hate that more than anything else. They hate it. They hate it. And we should lean into it. And we should continue to do it. So, Joe, I don't know if you're hearing me. I don't know if your producer is listening right now. I know Joy Ann Reed's producer is probably listening. Joy does a pretty good job at mocking these people. But Joe, what you should do is start taking the deep, dark shit out there, these stories, these deep, dark stories that are out there. And what you should do is mock the shit out of them and laugh, make the country laugh at them, laugh at them. Not with you, laugh at them. Because it's funny. They're fucking easy to mock. They are parodies of themselves. Look at this guy. This guy preaches about gender shit, and you can't even tell what gender this thing is. I don't know. Is it a man? Is it a woman? It's Pat for sure. For sure it's Pat. That's right. That's how you do proper mockery. That's how you do it. And that's how we get through this thing. And I know it might feel like it from day to day that we're not winning, but we are. We are winning. And we will continue to win. And the best hope we have to win is fucking shitboxes like Benny Johnson, Charlie Kirk, It's Pat, Sean Vaughn, Laura Ingraham, and Kid Rock, and Roseanne Barr are their fucking spokespeople. Chris Cuomo, Tim Pool. These are the people propping up Big Larry Trump is running the RNC, begging for $5. Rudy Giuliani is going down to Mar-a-Lago trying to convince people that he's the victim here. This is our competition, people. It's not very good competition. They are scraping at the bottom of the MAGA barrel. And I couldn't be happier about it. frankly, I hope they don't stop and they keep on with their white Christian nationalism and propping up Nazis up there in Maine's house with fucking Representative Libby.
Let's talk about the Nazis. I would like to know, although I'm not posing a question through the chair, I would like to know what they did that was illegal. I would like to know what they did in detail, if folks would like to share, that was wrong, that infringed on another person's right.
Nazis and defend Nazis. Ooh, baby. Don't stop. Don't stop. And frankly, don't stop buying Trump stock either. Oh my God. If you're a MAGA out there and you're a Trump humping or a Cheeto humping fuck nugget, if you're part of the cult, please don't stop buying stock. Please, please. We need you to buy this stock. It is so important that you crash this thing into the earth so many people can short your stock. It's so important. And it's important that you come back next fucking week. Next fucking week. Next week. Monday. Apparently we're back on YouTube. That is if we don't get banned over the weekend, okay? I'm not going to make any hard promises here. That is if we do not get banned over the weekend. Now, we will be posting videos on YouTube over the weekend. But I want to tell you that we're going to get a little more of a strategy for YouTube. And I want to be transparent about the strategy with this strategy that we have with YouTube, with the audience, okay? Because I know a lot of you are viewers on YouTube, so you're going to have to give the skinny to the YouTube viewers when you get back on Monday, because there's a lot of people that just don't watch this show unless it's on YouTube. I don't understand that, and that's just the way that's the way the cookie crumbles, okay? And there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it besides sweep up the crumbs because they taste so good. But we're going to have a little different strategy. So you're going to see a few videos being posted on the YouTube channel over the weekend. But we will do less of the silly, ha, 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 funny stuff and more of the new stuff because we're trying to see how YouTube will treat us. We're trying to experiment with them. So it's going to be a little different strategy. I'm going to go through that strategy as we get back on YouTube next week. And we're going to talk about that now as we get YouTube next week. So don't get too excited about me being back on YouTube. It may not be that fun. It just may not be that fun. I don't know. Could be. Maybe not. Woo, baby. What a week. I'm so glad to have you here with me this week as we had a great interview with Lev Parnes. You're going to be able to check that out on YouTube this weekend. I think we're going to post that. And then also having Clip yesterday was fantastic. And I'm glad you joined me for the end of the week. It's been fun. It's been a great week. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there. We'll see you on Monday. Same time, same place. As always, surf's up, motherfuckers.
You've been listening to the Tony Michaels podcast. In your face commentary of current events and political news. No rules, no boundaries. I think we've made that perfectly clear. We hope you enjoyed the show and we'll be back soon. In the meantime, follow Tony on social media at the Tony Michaels. And until next time, raise a fist and repeat after me. Fuck 'em.
Murphy's Mule Barn, head ass speaking.
You know, I'm a fan of Botox. Okay. Actually,
Side note, let's tell a little story here. I may need some more. Yesterday, I was walking on the Capitol Hill complex and this group of students got really excited and I hear them and they go, "Hey, that's Nancy Pelosi." Another one says, "Oh my gosh, yeah, that is. That's Nancy Pelosi." I start looking around. It's me. I'm like, oh Lord, I need some Botox. I don't think I've ever been so insulted in my life. You know,
happy Crucifixion Day, everyone. Today, I'm offering my special little cheer monkey for an unbelievable price of $1 million. This amazing holy relic is going fast, but hurry, as I only have 174 left. Hope to see you on Monday at my erection. Happy Crucifixion.
Content on the internet, it inevitably comes the trolls. And so I thought I would take the hate comments from my YouTube videos and turn them into a song.
That's a good idea.
Wow.
Thank you.
So tonight you're going to take ugliness and make it beautiful. I can't wait to hear the song.
Thank you. My mom thinks he just got killed by a cat. They hauled the song away in a body bag. Ear murder. Eat a burger. Why do you make every song sad? Your sound is so trash. Your voice is very bad. Bad. Very, very bad. Very, 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 very bad. I would feel bad for my neighbors if I did this to them. You can't sing. She's so unsubscribe. You make the worst covers ever. Some destroying machine. I'd like to hear her sing in front of me. I know it'd be lame. Totally lame. If you're looking for advice, even though you suck at singing.
Wisconsin. How would that hypothetical senator, how would he get involved in election interference in 2020 by, you know, sending Trump lackeys overseas and lying about these things? How would a senator do that? If, hypothetically speaking, how would a senator do that?
How about I give you a better one? How about I give you the real truth and not hypothetical?
So okay, yeah, go ahead.
So there is a current sitting senator in Wisconsin by the name of Ron Johnson that was part of a group called the BLT team that was made up of myself, Rudy Giuliani, Victoria Tunzing, Joe DiGenova, and John Solomon, that also had links to like Devin Nunes and Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Pete Sessions and others. And their job was basically to distribute the false information that we provided into the halls of Congress and to legitimize it by going on television, by going in into the congressional hearings and basically pushing this false information. And that was his job to do. And that's why Victoria Tunzing told us that our guy in Senate is going to be Ron Johnson.